I'm Presley.
And I'm Connor.
And this is the Server Life Podcast, where we candidly talk about the glamorous lifestyle of the service industry.
We share some of our own stories, along with some of yours, so we can all laugh and realize that we are not alone in this.
So feel free to subscribe, stick around, and join the conversation.
We love reading your comments, especially when it's praise. For me. Hey guys, it's Presley and Connor here. We are still living that quarantine life here in LA. How are you holding up, Press?
Oh man, I don't know anymore. It's all becoming a little bit too normal now. All the days are blurring together. But, you know, I'm enjoying not going to work, I'll tell you that much.
I know, it's a mixed bag, because it is kind of nice to be living this life of leisure, but I also feel like an inmate sometimes when I'm just like, I need to go outside.
Totally. Well, a while back we talked about some stereotypes that all servers have about other servers that we've worked with, but today we're going to talk about stereotypes that guests often have about servers in general. So what is a stereotype? The definition of stereotype is a widely held but fixed and oversimplified image or idea of a particular type of person or thing. And us being in the service industry, we are stereotyped all the time. We do it to each other and obviously guests do it to us. The service industry is just full of a very colorful variety of people, to say the least. And many people stereotype servers. They think that we're all the same kind of person, but in reality, we're really just a really random group of unique individuals that have acquired customer service skills. Maybe we like the easy money, and maybe we just enjoy the lifestyle that comes with the job. But at the end of the day, we're all super, super different. So today we decided to talk about how other non-industry folk stereotype us.
I love it.
Yeah.
Although I'm already anticipating that half of these stereotypes are going to apply to me.
they are going to apply to you?
Yes. I'm like, yeah. I know that we're all different, but I feel like in some ways I am like, yeah, that's me. That's true. But it doesn't apply to everyone.
Well, when you talk to people who are non-industry and they say, well, what do you do? And you say, oh, I'm a server. They're usually like, oh. Yeah, it's like they're a little confused and they don't, you know. So, I mean, there's definitely a stereotype about the kind of person that works in the industry. Some of them are totally true, but a lot of them are super off.
Yeah. I think, like, one of the first ones that comes to mind that people just assume that you're, like, a functioning alcoholic. You know what I mean? People are just like, oh, you, like, don't have your shit together. That's, again, sometimes it's true, but a lot of times that's not the case. And that's an unfortunate one.
They're like, oh, you're a server? You party, for sure.
Yeah. We all know that you clock out and you go to the bar across the street and spend all the tip money you just made. And I say...
Totally, which...
Occasionally, yes.
Yes, which I feel is there are so many people that are functioning alcoholics because the way that the lifestyle of the industry is set up is if you got the good shifts, you work in those late nights and then you're so burnt out from dealing with the general public that you go wind down with a drink and then you sleep till, you know, late afternoon the next day and then you get up and you do it again. Yeah. But I feel like it also is the opposite too. Like I know so many bartenders that are sober because their whole lives they've been in the industry and they've just watched guests and other people piss their lives away being drunks that they're so turned off by it. That's I've actually true. Worked with a handful of sober people in the industry.
Yeah, me too. Sometimes because they had like their own struggles in the past, but sometimes like you said, it's just they see other people come in and get shit-faced at the bar and they're like, yeah, I'm good. I don't need to be that person.
I'm cool off that. I'll just stick with my soda.
Yeah, I'll just make the cocktails and smile and counsel these people.
A cocktail sounds really wonderful right now. Connor, the last episode we did, I made a suggestion that we do an episode drunk together. And you were like, that's a stupid idea. I actually received a direct message to my personal Instagram requesting that we actually do it. So I guess we have to do a drunk episode. I have
two comments to make. One of them is you make me sound like I bully you. You like say something, I'm like, no, that's fucking stupid. You're an idiot, Presley. That's not okay. I feel like that I was misrepresented in that story. Second of all, I like how we just talked about how one of the primary stereotypes about servers is that we're functioning alcoholics, and you're like, we should do a drunk episode.
Hey, there is some truth in this. I don't think that we're functioning alcoholics. I'm just saying we were talking about cocktails, and then I just, you know, I teleported back to what it was like sitting at a bar as a guest, and I was like, man, that'd be nice right now. I've been in quarantine for way too long, dude.
Yeah, I feel you. I think, yes, maybe I can get on board with the idea. I feel like it would be a crapshoot. We can get drunk and record an episode, but whether or not it sees the light of day depends on what transpires in the episode.
Fair. I'll start the pre-production and run it by the team and see what also, they think about
Server
it.
Also, Server Life will be paying for my vodka. it's a business expense. I'm writing it off. Okay, what's another stereotype?
I think another big one is that servers in general don't have any formal education, which is so baffling to me because majority of servers serve to put themselves through school. Like most of the people I have worked with have degrees or are getting a degree as they're working.
Yeah, it's true. A lot. There's always at least somebody at the restaurants I've worked at that was in school. And I have a bachelor's degree, but I have a bachelor's degree in theater. So I'm a waiter.
I don't think there are many of you out there.
Yeah, okay. Don't attack me.
Yeah, okay. Don't attack me. Well, I think another big thing about it is that, you know, people serve while they're getting their degree to get a better job. But then they have this degree and then they're making so much more money serving than they would taking a job that required more time, more energy. So I think that's another reason why, you know, people just assume that they don't have formal education, because if you have formal education, you should get a better job. But you get that degree and you realize that you can make so much more money and so much less time working as a server.
It's true. Yeah, I think we've talked about this on an episode before, but I worked with somebody that had a bachelor's degree and then went and got a master's in education or English or whatever it was. And then she got a teaching job full time. And then after like 2 years of teaching or 1 year, whatever it was, she was like, you know what? This requires so much of my time and I am making about the same that I was making as a server. So I'd rather be a server and have a lot more like free time to be pursuing other things or to be a mother or whatever it was. So yeah, it doesn't necessarily mean that we can't hack it at school or that we're not pursuing an education or don't have a degree, because a lot of us do.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, I think that we're so formally educated that server life is the way to go, bro.
I think a lot of people would disagree, but I think that it may not be the way to go, but I don't think it's necessarily a bad way to go. I don't think it means that you can't do something else or that you didn't put yourself through school or whatever the case, because that's just not true.
Totally.
This is like a random one that's like less general, I guess, but like I feel like when you hear comedians talk about it or like whatever, people hate when servers don't write things down. And I feel like that's, I don't know if it's really a stereotype, but it's a misconception for sure that they think that, like, we do it because we think we're hot shots. Like, if we don't write down an order, they're like, oh, they think they're being a hero. And it's like, dude, no, it's just there's two of you and you had, like, one modifier. I don't need to write this down. It's just like, you know what I mean? Some places, yeah, I've worked require you to write it down, but some places it's just like you have your rhythm. You want to be engaging and you're just like, I'd rather than stop and fumble to get out my pad and pen or whatever, or if I have like something in my hand, if I'm on my way to another table, I'm just like, hey, you guys ready? Cool. Awesome. Be right back. You know what I mean? If it's an eight top, yeah, I can see how people might be a little nervous, especially if they have modifiers. But when it's like two or four people and it's all pretty straightforward and they're like, you're not writing this down? And they think that we're just like cocky bastards, or that, or maybe they just think that we're such idiots that we can't possibly remember what they ordered.
Yeah. Well, what's your, so your limit is 2 to 4 people. That's how many you can just remember.
I've done more, but usually it was because like my pen died or I somehow left my book like back at the server station. So I've definitely done more than four, but I feel like if it's 2 to 4, I'm not going to write it down. Unless somebody's like, okay, so I have 17 allergies, and I'm like, okay, let me get my pen.
Yeah. I mean, good for you. I mean, I feel like most servers are like that. I have the worst luck with memory for that stuff because I feel like I have to write everything down. And so even if it's one person, I have to write it down. Once I write it down, I get to the POS, different story. I can usually do it off of memory. But the one time that I don't write it down, I'm like, oh no, what did my one top order? And I just screw myself over. So I literally have to write everything down.
It's funny because I don't know what's different about my brain, but like, I feel like when I write down an order, I'm less likely to remember it. Like if I write down your order, I have to read it to ring it in. But
your brain is like, oh, it's down. I don't have to remember.
Yeah, it's like because some people are like, oh, if I write it down, I don't even need to open my book. I remember it better. And for me, it's like, no, if I'm looking at you and listening to your order, I will remember it. But if I'm writing down your order, I have to read it because I'm not paying attention.
Oh, wow. See, that's so funny because I'm the exact opposite. Once I write it down, it goes into my brain easier.
Yeah. It's all like learning styles, you know what I mean? Like writing out flashcards in school also never helped me. So I think I just have a strong link from writing it to memorizing it.
Yeah. Did you see the Ellen stand-up that she did? I don't know. I think it came out this past year, where she talked about waiters and how they try and impress you by not writing it down. And she's like, no, 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 severe allergy. And the server's like, oh, yes, it's up here in the brain. I got it. And and for the lady, have you seen it?
I think I did see it when it first came out because I vaguely remember. I think Chelsea Handler has also done a bit about it. Like, people hate it. People hate when their waitstaff don't write things down, which I get it if you are used to people fucking up. But...
yeah.
It's just like when it's so straightforward, like if it's a two top and somebody's like, I'm going to have the chicken sandwich and she's going to have this salad. And you're like, cool. And they're like, you're not going to write it down? I'm like, no, I'm going to the fine, I'll write it down for you.
Oh, this is random, but do you remember when, this must have been like 8 months ago, but it was like a really, really busy Friday night and you got fucked over. You had like a full section and they were like, oh, you need to take this like 20 top because so-and-so is not going to take it. And so you were freaking out and you took their order and you like ran, you had to stop at all your tables because while you're taking their order, like nobody had touched them and they needed help. And by the time you made it to the POS, you lost the order and you like almost cried and you had to go back and like find the piece of paper that had all 20 orders on it. But that's the only time I've seen you almost cry on the floor.
No, I don't cry ever. That's a false allegation. I deny it.
Oh, that was stressful.
Yeah, I think I remember the night you're talking about. It was a bad shift. Like, it wasn't just that one instance. It was like, I was getting my ass kicked all night. So thanks for reminding me about that, because I'm already, like, shaking and don't want to go back to work now.
Yeah,
I was fully in the weeds and they were like, you have to take this 20 top or whatever it was. And I was like, of course I fucking do. So I go over and I'm taking the order and everybody has 15 million stupid questions, which it's always when you're in the weeds and you have to take a big party's order and they're like, no, no, we're ready. What kind of lettuce is in the? And I'm like, oh my God, just give me your fucking order. So then, yeah, I was fully in that headspace and then I had to, like you said, do that lap and run around and scramble to catch up my other tables. And then I'm like, all right, time to ring in the 20 top. Couldn't fucking find it. It was stuck. Yeah. It was like stuck to the back of my book for whatever reason. I had like put it there and folded it over. And it was a very intense moment of panic, but I found it. It was all good.
Oh man. I'm fucking stressed out now.
Yeah. Thanks for that. Now I'm ready for a cocktail for sure.
No problem. That's what I'm here for. All right. Another stereotype. I feel like a lot of people just assume that we're all burnouts. And I feel like that kind of goes hand in hand with the no formal education, but that we're all like stoners and losers and can't manage to master another skill or like get a better job. But
yeah, just like aimless fuck ups. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like just going through the motions, just like showing up and brain dead maybe. But I mean, maybe a bunch of servers are stoners. Like I worked with so many people that couldn't serve unless they were stoned just because general public generally sucks. So being high makes it a little bit easier. But I mean, that doesn't mean that all servers are burnouts.
Yeah. Again, like, yes, are there some people in the industry that are there because they're quote-unquote fuck-ups? Maybe, but that doesn't mean that that applies to everybody. You know what I mean? There, like you said, there's people from all different walks of life that end up as servers, and they're there for different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that goes hand-in-hand, too, with this perception that, like, what we do is mindless. Like, when people argue online in comment sections, don't ever read the comment sections when people start talking about tips, because you'll see the people that are like, I don't have to tip them because they carry a glass of water, a monkey could do it. And you're like, ugh. It's infuriating. But yeah, I think that is another misconception that ties into that. They're like, oh, this is such a stupid job and anybody could do it, so these obviously are just losers that didn't like get their life together. And that's not fair. That's totally, mm-hmm. totally not accurate. As all of us that serve know, I'm not saying it's rocket science or anything like that, but it's definitely not just a mindless, stupid job that anybody could do. You know what I mean? There's a lot of people. Totally. I've had friends that had that notion, and then they took a serving job as like a part-time supplemental income job, and they couldn't last like 2 weeks. They would text me and be like, I don't know how you do this, because I just couldn't. I wanted to cry every shift. And it's like, not everybody is cut out for it. I'm not saying, obviously millions of people are, but it's not for everybody. And it's not something that any chimp could do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's definitely, and the other side of that is once you put the work in and you learn how to do it, that learning curve is so hard. And the first, year that I served, I probably went home crying every other shift because it's challenging and you're multitasking. You have to be so good at multitasking. And then it's not only physically draining, but it's mentally and emotionally draining. But the other side of that is maybe this is where people do get the misconception that our job is mindless and easy. Because once you learn how to do it, it does kind of become like a muscle memory thing. If you master your menu, you learn the POS, it is kind of easy to go into this autopilot that we've talked about multiple times.
Yeah.
But then our job is to make it look easy. If you walk up to a table and you're frantic and you show them the stress and the, fear of whatever you're internally experiencing, that's not going to be a pleasant dining experience. Part of it is pretending like we are just happy all the time and making it look graceful, even though it's really not.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I think tipping is, I mean, yes, we're biased because we grew up in America where tipping is the custom. So we're used to it. It makes sense to us. But you're tipping for the experience. You're tipping because it is a service industry type thing. It's not just, hi, here's your food and walk away. I have to be running around multitasking, as you say, but also smiling, engaging, being friendly, being patient, making sure that I'm putting off an energy that makes your experience enjoyable. That's what you tip for. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And when people get into the debates of, well, you should tip out back of house, or, the line cook should get tipped out, and the dishwasher should be tipped out. It's like, in my mind, the tip is for going above and beyond and mastering the skill of serving and tending to each person and you're performing. I think the tip is for the performance of serving. And if you're not good at performing, a lot of people won't tip. But it's both things, getting the job done and then making it look great. And I think that's the 20% that we're all doing the work for.
I agree with you. And I think people have differing opinions on this. And more restaurants in California, at least, are moving towards that that method of tipping out back of house as well, for whatever reason, mm-hmm. because overhead is getting too expensive and they want to tap into that tip money and be able to pay their workers that way. But yeah, you make a solid point. I know we're a little off topic here as we're onto tips, but like the line cooks have their job. They're completely valued members of the team for sure, but they, mm-hmm. they can swear, they can get angry, they can snap at each other, they can do all these things that like we can't do with our guests. We're providing a service, we're customer facing. That's what the tip is for. We're providing that experience. You know what I mean? We're not just carrying stuff.
Totally. And they deserve to be paid for their service, because obviously we wouldn't be able to do what we do without them. But I do feel like, yeah, the tip thing should be separate. But that's totally open for discussion. We'll have to do, I think we should do a tip, want to do a drunk tip episode?
No, because it will just be angry bitching.
Another stereotype is that servers are always to blame. So when the kitchen does fuck up, or you know, people are upset about prices, they blame us for it. Like one of my last shifts, I was serving a table and this guy was just being a jackass, and he's like, well, the half cup says it's this much, and the full cup says it's this much. So if I just get two half cups, I'm saving 50 cents. Do you see this? And I'm like, I literally looked at him and I said, I didn't make the menu, sir. Do you want me to grab the manager? Like, it's 50 cents. Don't, ooh, I didn't.
Sassy Presley. Yeah,
I snapped back just because the way he worded it was, he literally was asking me why something so silly was like that on the menu. And I just was not having it that day. And I clapped back. I don't like it when people talk to me like I'm not a person, or that I'm the one that freaking made that choice or that made the mistake. It's like, come on, bro. Yeah,
it's not fair. But I think that's anybody who's in a customer-facing position. We all deal with that. Like, if you're a telemarketer, you have to deal with the wrath. Not telemarketer, but like a call service, call center customer service rep. You have to deal with the wrath of everyone, even if it's policies or problems that have nothing to do with you directly, because you're the one. And it's the same thing, I think, for servers. I worked at a bank for a while, and you know, people would scream at me over what were like federal government regulations. I was like, this is the law. I don't know what you want from me.
Yeah, you kind of just become a punching bag because you're their direct point of contact. So it does make sense, like, if they're really, really that upset, that they would take it out on you. But the fact, yeah, it's not all our fault. And when the kitchen makes a mistake, that's easy to be like, sorry, it's the kitchen. And sometimes they understand. But also, my favorite go-to move is when I fuck up, I blame the kitchen. Like, every time I fuck up, I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry, it actually came out a little bit burnt, I personally wouldn't have eaten it, so I went ahead and had them fire a new one for you. And they're usually like, oh yes, thank you. Or if I forget to ring something in, I'll make up a story, and I always defer the blame. That's a lie. I take blame sometimes, but most of the time I blame the kitchen.
I've had a lot of server friends admit the same. I feel like I guess I'm just like a better person than you are, because I usually own up to my mistakes. No, occasionally there have been a couple where I'm like, this is so bad, I have to blame it on the kitchen. But there have been times where somebody's like, hi, we never got our appetizer. And I go, oh my God, I'm sorry. That's on me.
No. I'll do that too. I have moments like that too. And a lot of tables have mad respect when stuff like that happens too.
As you make it right. If people are reasonable and you, like, some people you can't make happy and they're looking for a reason to be outraged. But like, if you communicate and you apologize and then you go above and beyond to make it right, then, you know, take something off the bill or offer them, say like, oh, I'm sorry, I'll rush that appetizer right out. And of course it won't be on the bill. And then if they're still upset, comp them a dessert or something. You know what I mean?
Yes. And I think that rolls over into another stereotype, is that servers just don't care about being good at their jobs. Like, a lot of people are like, oh, they're just here for the tip. They're just kind of showing up and anybody can do this. And So I feel like a general stereotype is that they don't care, or they don't think that we care about being good at our jobs. But in reality, sometimes we care way too much. Like, there are so many times when I've made a mistake or, you know, done something that upset somebody, didn't handle it in, you know, the best way, that the customer wasn't as happy as they could have been. And I'll cry. Like, I take it super personally sometimes, because I do care about being good at my job, because I feel like in life, you just have to show up and be the best version of yourself that you can be. And if you try and excel in whatever you're doing, nothing but good things are going to come. So, you know, I don't think I'm the best server in the world. I've been pretty open about that. I've been a pretty shit server over my years. But I have gotten better at my job because I care about doing my job well. And I do take it personally when I fuck up or I, you know, ruin an experience for someone. I take it way too personally.
It is. It's weird too. Like, for me, I feel like I'm listening to what you're saying, and I feel like I compartmentalize in a weird way. Like, in like the big scheme of my life, I don't care about my serving job, which I probably shouldn't say on the record, but that's the truth. Like, I'm like, ugh, I don't care. But when I'm there,
yeah.
Like when I'm there and I'm working, I do care. I like want to be a good employee. I want to be a team player. I put in the effort to give my guests a good experience. So it's weird how, like, I care when I'm there, and then as soon as I walk away and, like, look at the big picture of my life, I'm like, I don't care.
Totally. Well, that kind of stuff you really can't carry around with you. Like, if you're upset because Karen was mad that her burger was a little bit overcooked, like, that sucks to carry into your next day.
Yeah.
But if it's something like it was someone's birthday and all of the plates came out except for the birthday guys, and then it came out and it was wrong, but it wasn't your fault, that kind of guilt is like, oh man, it was their birthday and they were looking forward to this. And that's something that I'll carry with me.
Yeah, we're not all just like miserable, jaded, people loathing monsters that are like, fuck this place, I don't want to be here, I don't care if anything goes wrong, I hate all these people, I'm gonna spit in their food. Like, we're not those people. And I think that some people think that all servers are like, well, I guess it's a weird, like, it's a dichotomy, if that's the right word. But it's like, some people think that we're all friendly and sweet and that we all just love people and we're so, like, chipper all the time because they only see that facade. You know what I mean? And then other people...
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Other people think the opposite and think that we're just angry, jaded monsters that, like, are constantly being fake. And I think the truth is somewhere in the middle. I think that, like, do we have to fake it sometimes? Sure. Do we have bad days and we're feeling burnt out and we have to talk through a smile when really we want to say fuck off? Yeah. But it doesn't mean that that's our constant state. Sometimes we are in a good mood and we're genuinely happy people. We're just people. You know what I mean? We have good days and bad days. But we don't spit in your food. We're not going to, like...
Yeah.
Be unreasonable and disgusting because we're quote unquote jaded fuck ups. That's not an accurate perception.
Totally. I feel like that's a good way to look at it. That some people think that we're all totally jaded, fucking hate people. And then there are people that think that we're always like in a great mood and super friendly and love people, but that's the act that we always have to have. But there's some truth in that because obviously we're humans. We desire connections. And as much as we bitch about serving, there have been multiple tables that I've served when afterwards I'm like, hey guys, thank you for coming. It was my pleasure. And that's not just like server spiel. I don't say that to every table. Like, it was genuinely a breath of fresh air to serve you, because usually I will be me and be friendly and sweet when, you know, people are being shit. And then when people are genuine back to you, it's like, wow, this is refreshing because I'm not pretending right now. You know, this is genuinely a good connection.
It's so true. And it's such a welcome relief when you greet a table, especially if you've had a rough shift or you've been waiting on some assholes, and then you greet people that are like just calm and friendly and pleasant, and you're like, ugh, why can't every table be like this? They're so nice.
Yeah, gosh. Oh, I miss the good tables. The good tables. I can't remember the last one I had, but I know I've had some.
Yeah, that's like human nature. We're more likely to remember the bad than the good, right? the monster tables are burned into our brain. But shout out to all the nice guests that are good customers, good tables. You make our lives. Some of them don't even realize they're just good people. You know what I mean? Like, they're not trying to be considerate. They just are kind and chill. And it's like, ugh, what a relief.
Mm-hmm. I think what goes to that is to say they don't stereotype us. They know that we're individual human beings doing a job, and that's how they treat us, which is how everyone should go about treating everyone. But yeah, in the service industry, that's very rare. So shout out to you if you treat servers like people.
And it's not like we're even entitled to the point, because I think some people are like, because, you know, servers love to bitch, right? And if you look at any of like Server Life or any of the accounts like that, people are always laughing and bitching. But that's how we deal with working with the public, because there's a lot of crazy out in the world. But I think some people think that because they see that stuff that we're entitled, and we think like, oh, we have to be like treated with the utmost respect at all times, and like, you're lucky I'm waiting on you. And it's not that extreme. It's just like you said, we're people. Treat us like people and we'll be good. Don't treat us like your servant. Yeah. And don't treat us like, you know, we're not asking to be treated like a king or queen. Just treat us like a person, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I feel like the entitled thing can be kind of true for servers who have just been doing it for so long. They're the OGs. They were the first ones at this restaurant 10 years ago, and they're still here. So they do have a sense of entitlement for like the good sections and the good shifts and the time off and, you know, basic respect from guests. So yeah, I love these stereotypes, because some of them are definitely true, but some of them, I feel hypocritical talking about it, because it's both sides of the coin are totally true. They don't go one way, in either direction.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, oh yeah. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. We do like people to an extent, and we also hate people, just like everybody else.
Just like everyone else. It's cash. Another stereotype that, you know, I think is a little bit different is that a lot of people think that servers will intentionally mess up their food if you say something or you're not happy about it. So the general public will come in and something will come out wrong, and they'll be scared to even say something because they think that the server's going to be upset and take it offensively and like spit in their food or intentionally fuck it up for them again.
Yeah. That goes with that like jaded people hating thing. Yeah. And it's not the jaded case. It's not true.
Mm-mm. I've never gotten satisfaction from intentionally fucking something up. I know servers that do. I know servers that get off by making nothing too crazy, not like spitting in their food or like giving them something that they're allergic to or undercooking something. But I've met servers that kind of get off by doing little things that they know that the guests would be annoyed at. Which kind of goes back to the whole entitled thing, like, I have the power, you don't.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, there are people like that. I've worked with people like that too.
Yeah.
I think for me, it's like if a table is just awful to me and they've really pissed me off, I will give them bare bones service and I'll be less than friendly, but I'm not going to like intentionally fuck up their order. I just want to get them out. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I think if somebody seems miserable, the one thing I might do is send their food. Like if they have an appetizer, I might send their entrees sooner than would be ideal, just to be like, oh, well, out you go. They're like, oh, well, we're only halfway through our calamari. And I'm like, oh, wow, the kitchen's fast tonight. Sorry about that. Here's the check.
Wow, Connor, that's pretty sassy of you.
No, I don't do it just like that. But I play dumb. I'm like, oh, is everything okay? Sorry about the timing. It came out a little early. And they go, oh, that's fine. And then I'm like, any dessert? No, here's the check. If you're going to be an asshole, get out. But I'm not like confrontational in a way where I'm like deliberately trying to like fuck up their whole experience. I just am definitely a little less like, a little less friendly, a little less above and beyond. It's like bare bones, get you in, get you out.
Yeah. And I feel like that's fair. I feel like that's fair. I feel like if you get to that point in service, you're like, I don't even fucking care if they tip. Just leave, please.
Yeah, because some people are just monsters.
They are. They really, really are. And you think people are good in general, and then you work a service job, and you're like, no, generally people kind of suck.
Yeah. Yeah. We have our stereotypes about guests as well. For sure.
Yeah. Oh, totally. We could do a whole episode on that.
I think that this kind of ties in with, I guess, being a fuck up, but I think that a lot of people assume that servers are really bad with money. I happened to be really bad with money. So in my case, it's true, but I've met people that it really impressed me with how well they handle their money and how much they like bank from their serving job. And so some people really do use it to just get that fast cash, put it in the bank, and it's a means to an end. You know what I mean? So not everybody there is like, I can't manage my money. Like me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, when we did our money episode, I kind of shared that my whole life I've been really good with money. Like serving, I was able to, you know, put savings into my budget. Like, with my income and still have money left over. It was like a game for me. It was super fun. And this past, you know, year at the restaurant that you and I, or 2 years at this restaurant that you and I have been working at, it's like everything is out the window. And I was like, why is that? My whole serving career, I have been so like OCD, a little bit loose or not loose with how I handle my finances. But now it's like, you know, anything goes, I get paid, whatever, I'll figure it out. And I think it's because we started using, Arnon, you're going to have to bleep this out, which doesn't allow you to leave with cash. And it was something about like touching the cash helped me manage it better. But now that I don't deal with as many cash tips, like hardly any cash tips, I think that that's kind of why I've become bad with money. That's like a weird realization that I had after we did that money episode.
You keep swiping and you're like, well, as long as I can swipe. As long as it goes through, I'm fine. Yeah.
As long as it doesn't decline. By the way, what do you do when cards don't decline, or when they don't go through and they do decline? Because
it's like the most awkward thing to do. Like initially telling someone is fine, but I'm sure a lot of us have been in this experience where for whatever reason they have like two cards and neither of them are working. That is so uncomfortable because then your guest always gets indignant. They're like, well, I have the money. And it's like, I don't know what you want me to do. I took your card. I swiped it in the POS. I tried multiple POSs. It's not working. And then it's just like they have to call their card company or they put on this big huffy show about how dare we. It's clearly our computers. And then someone else pays the bill. And it's just like, that's so uncomfortable.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've been lucky in the sense that I don't have guests blame me, but that could be because when it happens, it is super uncomfortable when a card declines and you run it a bunch of times and you know the old trick where you wrap the receipt paper around the credit card to swipe it?
That has like, never worked for because, me. I'm always impressed when really? People make that work for them. It never works for me.
Oh, wow. It's something about like magnetizing the strip. I don't know. It's definitely worked for me. But I always try my best. I'll run the card a few times to make it go through, but I don't ever approach the table and be like, this card's declined. I just say, I lie like a liar to make them feel better. I pretty much say, hey, for some reason, this card isn't going through. Our system does that sometimes. Do you have a different one? That's pretty much my go-to spiel for any time a card declines to make sure that nobody is uncomfortable or embarrassed, especially if it's like a date situation.
I do something similar, but I don't ever suggest that it's the POS because I've been burned by that before. I used to do exactly what you do. And then because I had made a comment once where I was like, sometimes our system is finicky, I had a guest latch onto that and like scream at my manager and say, it's clearly your computers, even your server said so. And I was like, whoa, that's not what I said. So I do the same approach, but I don't mention the POS system. I just say, hey, for some reason, this isn't going through. And they go, well, that's weird. And I go, yeah, it could be anything from a security alert, travel advisory, whatever it is. But do you have another card I can try? I don't like to be like, oh, it's our computers. They do this sometimes, because then if it gets awkward and like a couple cards aren't working or whatever happens, then they're like, it's your computer. And they're convinced.
Yeah, I see how that can really fuck you over in the long run.
Yeah.
All right. Any other stereotypes you got?
I don't know if this is true or if it's just my own like insecurities, I guess. But I feel like some of the restaurants that I've, mostly upscale restaurants in like big cities when I moved to New York and then when I moved out here to LA, some places, like, you get the sense that they only want to hire pretty people. Does that make sense? I don't know if anyone else has experienced this, any fellow ugly people like me, but like you go into some restaurants and you see that all the wait staff is gorgeous and you're like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I think there is some truth to that. There are, especially with upscale restaurants, they, you know, as a server, you're representing their company. And if they are selling sexy food, they want the people serving it to be sexy, which they have a bunch of laws in place to protect people from stuff like that, because obviously that's not cool. Everybody should have equal opportunity for work. But then, like, I'm quote unquote pretty or whatever. And I feel like a lot of people think that I only get hired because of my looks. And I think I've talked about this before. It's like, that just makes me have to go above and beyond and make sure that I'm good at my job so that people don't think that I have the job just because of my looks, that it's because I am good at what I do. And right. At the end of the day,
you are a great server.
That's really all that matters. Oh,
I think the reason I bring it up, though, is not because I like just wanted to cry about this on the podcast, but like, I think that's a stereotype too, is like, depending, it's more like restaurant specific, but like if you think of like a diner, people might expect that like, oh they're a server at a diner, they're probably just some like chain smoking overweight middle-aged whatever, you know what I mean? And then some people are like, oh, they work at this place, they must be like so beautiful and so blah blah blah. So it's like a weird stereotype in that sense, because that's not always true. Yeah. Either. Like, I have worked at fine dining places in those major cities that, even though I'm so not the type of person you would think would work there. That was kind of my point, is that even that can be a stereotype. Yes, sometimes it's true. Yeah. Like, sometimes you go into a restaurant and you're like, okay, all of these people are exactly as I imagined they would be. But then there's people that are like, oh, this person is not conventionally attractive, and here they are providing good service at a 5-star restaurant. You know what I mean?
Well, the other side of that is, one of my biggest fucking pet peeves is when people tell me, you're way too pretty to be a server. Fuck you. Just because of the way that I look doesn't mean that I am not humble enough to do what I need to do to pay the bills, you know, or choose a lifestyle that works for me. Just because of how I look doesn't mean that I'm too good for a serving job. Like, that pisses me off especially when tables say that to me. Like, what's a pretty girl like you working in a place like this? It's like,
I know, I hate that too. Sir. I get that at least once a shift and I'm like, ugh, just let me live.
But you do. Don't you have people that are like, well, why are you serving? Like, why are you here? And they expect you to have this role, I'm in school.
Not because I'm too pretty. More because I'm like, they think I'm 50 and they're like, why are you here?
Well, I think that rolls into another stereotype, that most servers are aspiring actors, or like, this is their side hustle to pursue something more, which is your case.
Which is true for me and for many people like me here in LA especially.
Mm-hmm. Especially in big cities, for sure.
Yeah, I do cringe when somebody's like I'm waiting on a table and they're like, are you an actor? And I'm like, yeah. Yes, I'm sorry. Yeah, I am. I'm a cliche.
Yeah, no, I think that's the most common stereotype for Los Angeles, is that we're all actors just waiting for our big break. Just waiting for it. But some of us, you know, some of us are pursuing stuff like that. But I mean, I love serving just because it lets me go with the flow. And I'm, you know, mid to late 20s. And I have a lot of life ahead of me, and I did the whole desk job thing, and my quality of life was just shot. And I was like, there has to be more. I'm not even in my 30s, and I'm staring out a window all day, every day, wishing I could go experience more. And that's why I love serving, because it gives you the flexibility and the emotional time and energy to go after things that you love. Sometimes it's pursuing a dream like acting. Sometimes it's going on a road trip or getting drunk in Disneyland every couple of days. You know, it's different for everyone.
Big dreams. You've got some big dreams there, Press.
I do. I really do.
What about, I feel like there's a stereotype, another one that's kind of true in some regards, is that all the people in restaurants are banging each other. Not totally true, but like pretty, there's a lot of that. There's a lot of that. Everywhere I've worked is like, oh, this person slept with that person and these people are sleeping together even though they're married and these people, yeah, there's a lot of that that's going on.
Incest. Well, I mean, in our relationships episode, it's, you're with these people all the time and, you know, when they hire at restaurants, they do hire specific vibes, you know, a variety of different people, but they hire you at a restaurant because they think that you're going to work well with everybody else in the restaurant. And if you can work well, that means that you can communicate well, which genuinely means that you probably are going to get along and then really like each other and eventually get drunk after a shift and hook up. I mean, that happens.
That's what happened with us.
That's exactly what happened. Connor, I thought we weren't going to tell them.
It's fine. I'm over it now. I still am a little mad.
Connor and I are secret lovers.
I'm still a little mad that I don't really remember it. And I just woke up and was like, oh, hey, Press. But, you know, it's fine.
Well, I was able to do what I needed to do. So thank you for being there. Sorry you don't remember. I'll take a video next time.
It was nice. It was little. I'm not going to lie. It was a little nice to be used.
Oh no, what storyline did we just draw out for ourselves?
We derailed for sure. Let's edit this out, definitely. I'm tired. I didn't get much sleep last night. I'm just going to chalk it up to that.
Oh, that's pretty good. No, I think the stereotype of us, you know, all sleeping with each other is, you know, there is a lot of truth in that, but I mean, props to any restaurant that is strict enough in their HR world where it doesn't become an issue. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, we're not corporate. Not all restaurants are run like corporate places where there are business deals and more, you know, underlying relationships and emotions are there. It's like we're serving tables. If you can come in and handle your shit and not cause a scene, it's, you know, it's whatever. It's usually okay.
Yeah.
But sometimes things get messy.
For sure. Faux show.
Yeah. Faux show. Well, we got off topic a little bit.
I don't even remember what this episode's about. I'm just rambling at this point.
Oh, boy. Well, stereotypes. Okay. I think I have a few more. I think one of the biggest ones is that we haven't touched on is that we all make minimum wage. And a lot of people don't realize that there are states that have tipped minimum wage, where,
which is,
you know,
awful.
Here in California, it's so awful. And I've only had to experience it once when I was in Arizona, I think.
See, every state I've lived in except California did tipped minimum wage, which is like you get $0 paychecks most of the time. So fuck that. California does
it right.
And
guests are just like, yeah, and guests are just like, well, you're getting your hourly, so what does my 20% matter? I'll just do 15%. But no, that's how a lot of people make their money. They depend on the people. I mean, we're lucky here in California that when, I mean, I don't know for you, but for me, when I get my paycheck, it's pretty much like a really great weekend evening rush. You know, that's a nice check I'll get every
other
week.
It definitely depends on like how much you're making and how much you're claiming. Mm-hmm. But it's still like, it's not like we're making so much money that it's ridiculous that people tip on top of our hourly, because we live in LA, which is super expensive. So even that hourly is, it's enough to help us like get by, and it takes into account the insanely high cost of living here. That's why I think at least New York City should get on that train and do a decent hourly for their waitstaff.
Wow, New York City doesn't do a regular minimum.
I mean, I'm not up to date, but when I was there, I worked there from 2012 to 2014, I think, and I was making like three something an hour, and I never saw it. Yeah.
Fuck that. Well, I think another stereotype is that we don't pay taxes, that we don't claim any tips. But in reality, when in a situation like that, you pretty much have to claim 20%, especially if you're not making a full minimum wage. Like, the whole perception on what we actually claim and what we don't, a lot of people are like, oh, you get into the service industry because you can make tips and you just pocket it and, you know, you get away with it. But in reality, it's like, no, we really do have to claim our tips.
If you're not claiming any tips, you're going to for sure be audited.
For sure. I mean, I've worked at places. I'm pretty sure that it was Aloha when I was in Arizona. And if you didn't claim 10% cash tip when you clocked out, you had to get a manager to swipe you.
Yeah, I worked at a place that would monitor your percentages, and if you ever dipped below 15%, you'd have to, like, sign a document that they would have on file just to be like, hey, we notified you that you were claiming less than 15%, and you have to sign off and basically verify and vouch for it and say, yes, that's the truth.
Yeah, I actually pushed back on that once. I was working for a super corporate restaurant, and I was like, this is stupid. I shouldn't have to get you every time I clock out. And they're like, well, why are you only claiming, you know, 5%? Like, and I was like, well, that's all I made. And they're like, you're lying. We know that you made cash. Like, there's no way. And I was like, you don't know that. Maybe I got stiffed. Maybe I lost cash. Maybe. And they said, well, you know what? After X amount of time, if we look over and we see that you're only averaging 5% tips as opposed to what should be 18-20, then that means that you're not doing your job right, and we don't want you working for our company.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. Called me out. Got it.
Yeah. That's a solid point.
Yeah, that was a big eye-opener for me.
Are there shifts where you get stiffed or you have a bad night and you only make, like, between 10 and 15%? Sure. But if that's happening mm-hmm. every shift, then you're not being truthful. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or like your boss has said, there's a performance problem and you probably shouldn't be serving.
Yeah. That was the big slap in the face that I got when I got confrontational about it. Because it was a little situation that got me heated and that really put me in my place. I was like, yeah, you're right. You're super right. Well, this was a great little chat, Con. I think that the general public doesn't fully understand that we are just all people trying to make a living, and that we all serve for different reasons, and we have different ways of doing things that they can't stereotype us, because at the end of the day, we're just fucking people.
That's a very nice takeaway. My takeaway is that I'm a stereotypical server because I'm a fuck up, I'm bad with money, and I'm an aspiring actor.
All right, Connor, I won't fight you on that. I'll let you experience.
I'm kidding. No, it's true. We're all just people, and we end up in this industry for various reasons, and nobody really has a right to judge that. And there's nothing wrong with being a career server. If that's what you enjoy and you take pride in your work and you bank your cash and that's how you live your life, why should it matter to anybody else?
1000%. 1000%. Well, Con baby, this has been lovely. I always love hearing your voice. I mean, we do kind of talk often, but I miss you when we don't.
You're so romantic.
I know. All right, guys. Well, we know that this is still kind of weird, tough times for a lot of us, but we're making it through. Some restaurants are reopening. So those who are returning to work, we hope that you're returning safely. We hope that everybody else stays positive and stays productive. Check in with your friends, family, coworkers. Share this podcast. Follow us on our Instagram pages. Tag us in all of your posts. We will start reposting your stories if you're tagging us in them. And make sure to leave us a review on the Apple Podcast page. It is our virtual equivalent of a tip. And all of the subscriptions count. Every time you subscribe, it helps us more than you could ever know. So go ahead, subscribe, share, and we hope that you have an awesome week.
And good luck to all of you that are going back to work.
Word. All right, guys. Chat soon.
Bye.